really important. With this clarity, it will permit agents to speak with health plans, represent their clients fully, and I would go so far as to say it's an important provision. Section 3 is pretty straightforward, but I believe there is an unintended consequence that I want to at least bring to your attention. And over the time since this bill has been introduced, there have been numerous consequences. And that is the issue of obsolete plans. Plans that normally, in a property casualty line of business, would be closed. And in health, the reason they're closed is generally the costs are such escalating that people can get more for less elsewhere. One example of that is in my auto insurance. I was with it in a closed book, a legacy company. My agent kept trying to get me out of it. I thought I had a great plan. Finally, I got tired of my agent telling me to move, and immediately I said, fine, I got more coverage for less cost. So obsolete plans can be a problem. And the problem arises by virtue of the ACA. We can no longer close plans, and in fact, we have to keep them open to new entrants. We have no problem whatsoever if agents have, you know, placed the book, continue to maintain it, represent them, they should be fully paid. We think it's appropriate, though, for a health plan to be able to restrict entry, disincentivize entry into an obsolete plan through a lesser commission. So, and the reason is, these old plans, we do not believe, are in the consumer's best interest. They're no longer marketed. The ACA does not make us market these plans, so whatever information is provided to the agent is dated at best.
Can I ask a question, Mr. Franzen?
Sure. Madam Chair? I've never said so to a chair.
So what I'm hearing you say is that the agent, because it can't be closed, who holds the account and services the account because it can't be closed, would have to accept a lesser commission even though they're still maintaining and doing the work on that account because there is a problem with what's called guaranteed renewable of ACA, which I can tell you as author of the bill is the point of this section, that should not go on the back of the agent who still has to do the work and service the account, that the company shouldn't be able to then reduce the commission. Is that what I'm hearing you say?
Madam Chair, I apologize if I'm not being clear. That is not my point.
Okay.
My point is, if you have a piece of business, if the agent has business within an obsolete book, and the consumer, rightly or wrongly, wants to stay there, the agent is entitled to the commission for the maintenance of that. What we want to do is disincentivize, that's a big word, agents from placing new business into obsolete books of business. Again, if you're a property casualty company, you simply close the old book. You can't here under the ACA.
So thank you for the clarification, Mr. Franzen. So what I hear you say now is that you want to skirt the guaranteed renewable and offer incentives for agents and put it onto the agents to try to close your book of business. Is that what I'm hearing you say?
Madam Chair, those are not the words I would use. What I would say is the ACA causes a very real problem. Some would argue the ACA causes a lot of real problems. One of which is obsolete books being open in perpetuity. And to say we are going to not incent an agent to place a risk in an obsolete book, but rather incent them to put them into newer, better products would be my testimony.
Anyone else have any questions? Senator Gazelka.
Thank you, Madam Chair, Mr. Franzen. And I'm thinking through a situation where they don't have an agent and they're in a closed book, but they want somebody to help them with their product. And that's what this...
Madam Chairman, that is Senator Gazelka, an excellent question, and I believe it's already been addressed in Section 1. I believe that is that the... It may be... No, it actually is Section 3, Subdivision 4, which we have no objection to. You, at that point, as an agent, put in a agent of record letter, and you will then be the agent for that uninsured person.
Section 3, Subdivision 4, Madam Chair, that's what we're talking about.
I was looking at particularly, and again, apologize for my lack of clarity, paren B.
I'll read that. I thought he'd said all of Section 3.
And Madam Chair, I do apologize. I was not clear.
Senator Davids, did you have a question?
Yeah, so basically, thank you, Madam Chair. On a closed book, current agents, that are agents on that closed book, would be paid full commission. Agent of record agents on a closed book would be paid a full commission. When someone wrote a new piece of business, that could be at a reduced commission.
Madam Chair, Chair Davids, that is correct.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair.
And so, Mr. Franzen, so where does it say on here about, because what this is dealing with is qualified health plans, not closed.
Right. The question is what these are, again, this bill moves forward, Madam Chair, and there may be ACA-compliant plans that we would normally like to do in the future. Even now we have some that I believe 4 or 5 years old at least. That I'm not going to compare iPhones to health plans, but health insurance is ever evolving, new products are coming out constantly. A 5-year-old book may be an obsolete book in health insurance, which it would be a qualified plan. You have no grandfathering, you can't close it. That is the target we want to be very clear about. And out.
Members? Does anyone, Senator, Representatives, anyone on the committee have any questions about that? My comment would be, and I do feel pretty strongly about this, and I want the members of the committee to understand that is exactly what was feared when the bill was written, that the insurance companies would utilize commission and agents to deal with federal regulations that they have to deal with and work around. And this bill, in this the way that it's currently written in the delete all, prevents that from happening, which is the purpose of the bill, is to make sure that if there is a product, the insurance companies can't send you a letter and say we're reducing your commission on this product or that product and therefore steering you to one product or another. Mr. Franzen, is there other areas that you have concern on?
I will limit myself to one other comment. And it's on page 2. Really, lines 212 through 215, and I will be brief on this comment. My preference, first of all, is that an agent have an executed agent of record letter for the policy that was articulated really in Section 1 and Subdivision 4 at the time of enrollment. I believe that is not only the company's benefit, but in the agent's benefit, but most of all, the insurer's benefit. The reason is this. The reason for Subdivision 1 and 2 and Subdivision 4, as you go through, or at least the complaint from agents, is we call the health plan on behalf of our client, and they can't talk to us. They won't talk to us. So they'll say, we'll only talk to your old agent. If there is an agent of record letter that is sent to the company, I can speak for Blue Cross, other plans are here, we will talk to the agent. We will work with the agent. We will pay the agent.
But what you have is you know this person is the agent. There are questions about that which can probably be reduced to, well, it's too much work for the agent to get a agent of record letter. And this, Madam Chair, is one I would say just as a matter of policy. We compromised on saying, well, if as part of the entire package, which included the discussion we just had, we'll say the agent simply transmits a letter of agent letter of record, agent of record agreement letter. Now, and there's no obligation for the insured to actually sign it. I do want to point out, as a matter of public policy and as a matter of consumer's right, the consumer is best served by having an agent of record letter on the front end, so the agent can serve the agent and the customer and get paid for his or her work. There was some discussions in one meeting on line 214 and 215 about a standard form of agreement for purposes of this section. And I think that's a good idea in concept. I think there may be unintended consequences, including in this bill and particularly in this section. And that unintended consequence is I could fairly read the rest of this paragraph with this 214, 215, is an agent simply gets a call and say, okay, here is the MNsure website, because that forms, there is a form on the MNsure website. You just direct them. Maybe if you're more ambitious, you email them the website, and that's done. And I don't think that's enough to establish a client relationship. So it may just be placement. Ultimately, the idea of a standardized form is a good one. But where this is placed at this time, I think this is not ready for prime time, this particular sentence. Finally, I would say it does not benefit the agent. It unduly restricts the agent to have this. Because if you have a Blue Cross form, agent of record form, and you send that in rather than the MNsure form, the company doesn't have to recognize that.
Mr.
Now,
Franzen,
would we?
I do have
yes.
a question. Are you referring to the last sentence, MNsure must adopt a standard form?
Yes.
And you think that should be removed?
Or moved, Madam Chair. Either moved to a different section, because it's the adoption of the standard form is for purposes of this section. It ties directly into Section 4. If it were put into a different section or a section of its own, we could certainly work with that.
Mr. Franzen, my recollection is this was your recommended language.
This was not, Madam Chair.
Okay, so that was the sentence before?
Yes, that was an attempt at compromise as part of a package, which I would say 75% is here. The critical piece we talked about, which I believe is a policy difference, was omitted and objected to.
So, Mr. Franzen, I would move that we remove that sentence from this delete all.
Just send the very last sentence.
The very last sentence, starting at MNsure must adopt a standard form for the purpose of this section.
Starting with MNsure yes. to the end section?
Correct. And then, so 2.14, starting at MNsure, and 2.15, purposes of this section.
Madam Chair, I would support that, and again, I would urge the discussion as a policy matter to consider an executed agent of record form at the time of enrollment rather than a mere transmission. But as part of an overall compromise, we did agree to the mere transmission. But the part that was a critical part to Blue Cross Blue Shield did not survive the compromise. That is
explain what that is.
That piece is where I began my discussion, Madam Chair.
Okay. That's a different subsection. So I made a motion to delete the sentence. If you have questions about it, Senator Gazelka.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm just wondering if we would have somebody like Wilkin talk about it a little bit. I want to hear that's kind of the other side of this issue.
Mr. Wilkin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Tim Wilkin, representing the Minnesota Association of Health Underwriters. The reason why the MNsure form was in here is to have a standardized form that's accepted by all carriers and MNsure, so that MNsure isn't relying on varying versions from different carriers to designate who the agent is for a given client. That's the purpose.
Any questions on that? Senator
Gazelka. Madam Chair, Mr. Franzen, I think, talked about it be okay somewhere else, I think. And I'm just wondering if there's another place we can put this in the bill here, Section 6.
Madam Chair, I'm not sure for
Mr.
what other
Stain.
Purpose in the MNsure code that would be relevant other than this section.
Madam Chair.
Mr. Welkow.
Madam Chair, members, this is specifically designed for this section, which is kind of the go-forward retroactivity where we're kind of creating a workaround here because MNsure's IT right now doesn't capture that agent designation code. And so we need something where agents and frankly navigators can be designated at least on paper so that that can be sent to MNsure and the carriers to make sure that they get credit for the work that they're doing. I don't know that it's relevant to any other section.
Okay, Mr. Wilkin, I withdraw my motion. Any other questions on the delete all?
Madam Chair.
Representative Davids.
I'd like to hear from some of the other carriers if they're having any heartburn with this bill at all or if they fully support it or
neutral scheme.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Catherine Commit. I'm from the Minnesota Council of Health Plans. Thank you for the opportunity to make some comments on this. I'm just seeing it for the first time. I'm going to just draw your attention to Section 4 in particular, Sections 4 and 5. I'll just start off by saying I think Section 4 is, Section 5 is negated by Section 4. I have particular concerns about Section 4. What this language appears to be doing is to allow anyone who enrolled through MNsure, going back to 1-1 of 2014, to be able to select or identify their agent of record and then go back and that agent can get the commission. Now, I think agents do a fine job. They should get paid for the work that they do helping all of these enrollees. It's been a nightmare for enrollees, particularly those who went through MNsure. I understand that. My members understand that. You have been the victims of MNsure. My health plans have been the victims of MNsure. But I don't think that the solution is necessarily to make the health plans try to make the agents whole. I understand the problems, but I think this language, particularly the language in Section 4, would be very harmful. It's impossible for us to go back and figure out who that was. I mean, MNsure had so many flaws that agents were trying to put their names and numbers and codes so that they could get reimbursed or so they could be the agent of record on the application as it went through. but as you have heard, MNsure was woefully inadequate and none of that information made it through, and so the carriers didn't know that. And to reconcile this is going to be a huge manual process, number one. And number two, because of the makeup of the marketplace during 2014, it's going to really unfairly penalize some of my members over others, and I just can't stress enough, this is really, really problematic.
Senator Gazelka.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Ms. Commit, as I'm looking through this, I think the only people that are going to request this are the agents that were actually working with somebody and then didn't get credit, and so they're going to try to follow up on that. They're not going to have the names of people that have enrolled that they didn't have anything to do with. And, you know, there's no doubt this has been a mess. And I'm trying to think of, you know, if the question is, you know, do we help that agent get paid for what they did the work for, or the company that, you know, should have paid somebody but didn't have to because it was a mess. You know, it's difficult to draw the right place, but that's where I fall. And as I try to follow through, who would it be? You know, the people that are going to be following up are the agents that should have got paid. You know, and we talked about this before about, you know, is there a better way, you know, having Minsure pay or somebody else, but if we can't get that done, I want something to get done.
Madam Chair and Senator Gazelka, I completely understand where you're coming from. And again, we are not opposed to the agents getting paid. We want the agents to be paid for the hard work that they do to help guide consumers into the appropriate products. My concern, particularly with Section 4, is that it allows, it requires a health carrier to retroactively pay the commissions to the insurance producer, and I'm just concerned because the time frame, for example, the time frame in Section 5 says going back to January 1, 2015 through June 30th, 2015. I think that's reasonable and appropriate, and we are in agreement with that language. But the language in Section 4 is more open-ended, and I'm concerned that that will allow people to go back through to 2014 and that sort of thing, and it's going to be exceedingly difficult for my members from a financial perspective to be able to do that.
Senator Metzen?
I just, if it's a little more work for your members, so what? I mean, these people deserve to get paid. If it goes back a couple of years, that's the way I feel that they should get paid, you know? And, I mean, I won't say this, but I mean, you guys, I think you can handle this. So I just really agree with Section 4 that these people that have done the work, been in the trenches, even though it's goes backwards, they deserve to get remuneration for their efforts.
And I would also like to say that the agent has to do, and we worked on this, and I was under the understanding that there was coordination with this agreement that we were talking about. That was my understanding, so this is news to me that there isn't. So there are several things we did put in here to make sure that even a physical electronic record has to be sent at the time that you're signing people up. The agents would have to sign another form and then go back and get them to sign it if they signed up. This actually puts a lot of work on to the agent. This what we're asking them to do to prove to the companies that they did the work. And that's why that language is in there, to make sure that the companies are assured that there was work done and that there would be dates on that electronic form so that you knew that you were doing the work with that particular person, and that that policy holder can have the person represent them that they went to and want them to be represented by. Representative Davids.
Thank you, Senator. To Ms. Commit, a couple things here. First of all, you represent the health plans of Minnesota. Is Blue Cross one of your members?
Madam Chair and Representative Davids, yes.
Okay. So what you're testifying to today is you are against my bill.
Madam Chair and Representative Davids, I'm not against the concept of your bill, but the particular language in Section 4 I think is resolved with Section 5. Why is Section 5 not enough? And with
perspective retroactivity.
Okay. Well, anyway, I'll just leave it there.
Okay, and then do you see any tweaking or any fixing to Section 4? Do you need some dates in there? Do you need some? And I haven't, you know, I'm speaking for myself here. Senator Jensen will have her thoughts on if you feel there's any fix to it.
Madam Chair and Representative Davids, I mean, that might be helpful to just say the effective date. Oh, I see you do have it down here. Section 4 is effective August 1, 2015. Again,
and it also only applies to policies active after August 1st, or after which date? Oh, we could do that, I guess.
Applying, excuse me, Madam Chair, are you suggesting applying it to policies after August 1st, 2015? So it's prospective?
No.
January 1st, 2015.
Madam Chair, could we also get maybe Mr. Wilkin up here, and you, stay if you will.
Mr. Wilkin.
Just pull that chair out. I mean, my goal is to make sure this works for the agents and that the clients can administer it. And do you see any fix to Section 4 there, Mr. Wilkin?
Mr. Chairman, as Sergeant Jensen pointed out, that is the kind of go-forward piece. It's effective 8/1/15. If you wanted to make it four policies that are effective 8/1/15 and after, I think that would be a reasonable compromise because theoretically the ones that are before that are January 1/15 through June 30th of 15 are applicable in the next section.
They're not giving up anything, Madam Chair.
Not really, Mr. Chairman. It's basically you got a short 2-month window to go back to January 1 of 15 if you didn't get credit for the policies that you sold. And just I want to point out we did give up 2014. That's when the biggest problems were in place. We understood that that's a challenge for the carriers. In an effort to compromise, we said fine, we'll go with January 1/15. But it's important to have both pieces until the Minsure website is fixed. And once it's fixed, I will renew my commitment for the tape that if it's fixed and it captures the agent and navigator data so that our people get remunerated for their work, we will come back here and support repeal of the section of Section 4 because it won't be needed anymore.
Ms. Kermit.
Madam Chair and members of the committee, so given what Mr. Wilkin just stated, my suggestion would be just to put a sunset on Section 4 because Minsure should be doing this already. They aren't, but they should be doing it, and it would give us great comfort if we had, at the very least,
Representative Davids.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I kind of like Mr. Wilkin's idea a little bit better there, that if it's working and it's not needed, we come back and fix it, which I think we would.
We're all clear.
Senator Gazelka.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Wilkin had a compromised piece of language, so we didn't.
Chair, I think I have that down. Yeah, if you'd like to.
Mr. Stain.
On page 2, line 30, at the end of the sentence, insert, comma, and applies with respect to qualified health plans with an effective date on or after that date.
Could you read that once more, please?
Page 2, line 30, at the end of the sentence, insert comma, and applies with respect to qualified health plans with an effective date on or after that date.
Madam Chair.
Representative Davids.
To that point, I don't know if Minsure is going to be around that long.
Yeah.
So it may just kind of take care of itself. It's an abysmal failure. And I don't know if it's going to be around, but that's, I guess, another issue. Can Madam Chair, to Ms. Commit, can the plans live with that language?
Madam Chair and Representative Davids, let me check. That might be helpful. So let me check.
Level a little bit, yeah. Madam Chair.
Thank you. Yeah.
Why don't you have your people talk to our people? And
it's a short huddle.
Okay.
Huddle up.
You can put that up. I think you can put that up there. That doesn't matter. I think I better off down there.
Yeah, you did take that.
What did these people talk before this meeting? You know?
I'm sure they have.
Talk to you later.
Great.
Oh, okay. Rosa, you didn't see a lot of me.
I saw you on this conference, so
I believe so, Mr. Stain. Could you catch the
That's the bill.
Yeah.
Jamie also.
Oh, hi, Jamie. Hi. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too.
Yeah, yeah.
For what you just said, would it work better if it was Section 4 is effective for plans offered, sold, or effective on or after August 1st, 2015? I know that's the way we kind of normally work.
Well, except this is the substance of this. Let's see.
All right.
Okay. Is allowing. This isn't really a regulation of the plan per se. It's a regulation of somebody being going to plan retroactively. So it's kind of it's with respect to a plan. So they would only be able to make that election with respect to plans with an effective date after that, rather than a substantive regulation of the plan itself.
Okay.
So I think it works.
Okay.
I mean.
Okay.
Well, actually, we could. Yeah, we could hear.
Section 4 is effective with respect to plans.
I see white smoke coming out of the chimney.
So, Section 4 is effective with respect to health plans offered, sold, or effective on or after August 1st, 2015.
How about we put. Well, it's not offered because it's got to be.
Okay.
Right. I think I'm more comfortable with that. I mean, I think.
And the electronic
bill. No, I didn't execute it. From my perspective, it's broader than an application of health plans. It's just a reference.
Already, because they don't get paid otherwise.
Yes.
They're only able to appoint a retroactive agent 6 months after the effective date of the health plan.
Mm-hmm.
And you can only do that with respect to qualified health plans that have an effective date. So I think it works.
I would just put the date at the end, just so that your language right here, the stuff that's really the meat and potatoes of what we're trying to do here, is so it's effective for.
You can't talk to the company that represent your plan.
Well,
that's a common thing.
So effective for plans, for qualified health plans with an effective date on or after August 1st.
That's not all it speaks to is the health plan. It's I guess I'm comfortable with what I offer.
Okay.
Because right now, if you do it, you have to fill one of these out.
Okay.
There's no way for you to find out what it is.
If it works for you,
day of the policy.
The whole section doesn't come into existence until August 1st, right?
Yep.
And it only applies the retroactive
we will withdraw our opposition.
What is your
appointment of an agent? You can only make that
it's just be bold.
Retroactive appointment with respect to health plans that are
that was the other
effective.
Is there a standard code for all companies? Because that's where we ran into trouble.
So we're going to miss the microphone.
Yeah.
Will you take a venture?
It's on mine.
Well, right. No, I was listening.
Okay, so that could be a venture, and it's still in there, and do this. And we'll use the venture.
Well, this is. None of this is mine.
Well, right. That's not what we do.
Yeah. It happened August 1st this year to retroactively appoint somebody for plans issued between January 2015 and June 30th, 2015.
So if this is only effective for plans August 1 and after, we are missing
July.
They want to get paid.
I don't know. I mean, maybe that doesn't make sense. Maybe
I'll check.
Maybe that should be on or after July 1st.
My quick question
No, they can't be because one sunsets and the other comes into existence.
It's also doubly confusing.
It's July. Let's do this to July 31st. Give them more time.
You can either do this until July 31st. Came with an agent realizing that you've got to have
that. Well, they can never conflict because they're never in effect at the same time.
Well, I'm a straight shooter. That's what I get.
Right.
I think. I don't see a problem.
I'm
not sure if there's another law.
Because of what we just added, Section 4.
This has a sunset.
Yeah.
Would that be an effective date?
Yeah.
So I don't think
it is what you feel all the time now because you can't get paid
out. Conference committee over here and over there.
Problem. Yeah, well, it's complicated.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, okay. It's
easy
going.
That's fine.
Just ask it so. All right.
No, wait a minute.
I think we should change this to July so that it gives you more time.
No objection. No objection. We're fine with that.
Section 5. From June to July 31st.
I think they got an agreement here.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, what's the actual language?
Yes.
That's staff.
Okay, let's.
What do you got?
Mr. Stang?
What?
Fill us in. Mr. Stang, can you read the language change that we're going to use?
Madam Chair, I can read what I offered, but I took it that there was some more work done by other people that might be better than mine.
Have you given the language, suggested language to council?
Yes, Madam Chair, Senator Metzen didn't give us enough time to huddle.
You've had a couple of weeks with Britain.
Stang, see if
I need the suggested language. Oh, you have it.
I can suggest the language.
Mr. Franzen.
Section 4.
Section 4. And after the comma on 212, and help me with this, Mr. Stang. An executed agent of record agreement, an agent of record agreement executed prior to or at the time of enrollment. Does that do it?
I'm sorry, Mr. Franzen, where are you at?
After the comma?
On line 212.
212.
Okay. After enrollment.
And.
Read it again.
So
read
it's. Again. That the there is an agent of record agreement executed prior to or at the time of enrollment. And I want to go back to make sure. So that would be three things for the prospective retroactivity to apply. The first would be the producer could demonstrate, number one, they were certified by MNsure at the time of the original enrollment.
Mr. Franzen?
Yes.
I'm sorry, I do have a question, because at the time of enrollment, sometimes you're working over the phone, so it needs to be during the application process or something to that effect, yes. I think, to protect the agent from having to get it on some same day.
Yes, and Madam Chair, I think that's a good catch. And you
Chair, do you have words for that part of it then, or language?
During the application process. Mr. Stang?
These are conditions to being able to pay the retroactive premium, but if you read the sentence now with Mr. Franz's new language, I'm not sure it works. You have to demonstrate these things. We'd be demonstrating that an agent of record agreement executed prior to at the time of enrollment. The English doesn't make sense.
Madam Chair, it's the
Mr.
demonstration would be, and I do like the Chair's suggestion, is prior to the placement of the, prior to or at the time of the placement of the insurance policy. But the demonstration that the agent must demonstrate the existence of an agent of record agreement prior to.
The existence. Of an agent of record agreement executed.
The executed okay, agent of record.
Demonstrate the existence of an agent of record agreement executed prior to or at the time. And now we get into Senator Jensen's point.
And I believe it could be either during the application process or I would say prior to or at the time of placement of the policy. Because that would give them the time and
prior to policy placement?
Yes.
Mr. Welkin?
if depends if policy placement means policy selection, which could happen 2 months ahead of the effective date. I'd be more comfortable with the effective date. And even then, some paperwork straggles in later. But effective date would be, I think, more precise and definable by everybody.
Mr. Wilson, prior to the effective date of the policy?
Right.
I think that would work. We could.
Members, questions on that language? Mr. Gazelka?
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Senator?
No, I'm good. Mr. Stang, did you get that last part?
I did not.
It was rather than at the time of enrollment, we're suggesting prior to the effective date.
Prior to the effective date?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. That makes.
And Madam Chair, we have no objection. I could give the language I had drafted earlier to Mr. Stang too. And that would be that the policyholder is entered into an agent of record agreement with the agent prior to the effective date of the policy.
Members, questions?
No. Fred, did you have enough time?
Okay.
I'll move that.
Be quick.
I'm sorry. I'm not sure what we agreed to here.
We haven't agreed yet.
Can I read it?
Mr. Stang.
Ms. Olson had a good suggestion on the language I was trying to craft on the third leg of this. What do you have to demonstrate to entitle yourself to retroactive commissions? Madam Chair, maybe Ms. Olson could.
Ms. Olson.
Pitch in here.
Madam Chair, Jamie Olson, House Research. The language on 212, as Mr. Stang was saying, we needed an action word, so it would be to demonstrate an agent of record agreement was executed prior to or at the time of the application process.
So change that to the effective date.
Yeah,
of the policy.
Time of the effect. Okay, so I will read that one more time.
Okay.
Effective date. So the instruction would be page 2, line 12, after the comma, insert, an agent of record agreement was executed prior to or at the time of the effective date of the policy, comma.
Mr. Wilkin? Mr. Franzen?
Madam Chair, I would suggest that's great language because it would mitigate some of what we believe is harshness to the company. But probably more important, the consequence would be that agents would get paid quickly and seamlessly.
Mr. Wilkin?
We'll accept it.
Members?
I'll move that.
Senator Gazelka? On that motion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Oral amendment is adopted. Now we have the delete all.
Madam Chair,
yes.
On this delete all, did we take care of line 2.22, changing June 30th to 15th to July 31st to 15th?
We have not done that. Yeah,
I would move that.
No.
On that motion,
yeah.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
So
adopted.
Did you want anything with the effective date?
I think that's okay. No.
Okay. Anything further?
Madam Chair, I'll move the bill as amended.
Senator Gazelka moves the delete all for Senate File 1265 as amended. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Say no. Motion carries.
Good job. Good work. Good work.
Thank you.
Thank you. Oh, it's wonderful.
Okay, well, that happened.
Okay.
You think
this is language included?